Good morning again. You're good at this. Okay. Our first scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up against sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." Sounds like our anthem this morning. "O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." Our second reading is from Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. As were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field. One is taken and one is left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One is taken and one is left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the householder had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have watched and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect."
Let us pray. Cleanse our hearts, O Lord, and enlighten our minds, that your word may be truly proclaimed, and that we may truly receive in faith. Amen. Well, Audrey and I were watching a movie or a show of some kind not long, too long ago, and on TV, and there was a part of the show in which one of the persons was talking to another who was, quote, religious, and the speaker said, "You know, I really focus on the world and the here and the now. I'm not a religious person because I choose to focus on here and now in the world today." And I thought, well, there are people who think that, but they've never been to Advent. Yes, Advent anticipates the future. That's true. That's very true. Advent has one eye on the horizon, looking, waiting, anticipating for what is to come. That's true. If you watched and read the scripture this morning that was just before us, Isaiah's scripture says, "In the days to come." And in the New Testament reading, Jesus says, "But about that day and hour." You see, in both instances, we are given a glimpse of the future. What will happen? A preview of coming attractions. Isaiah's beautiful vision that we heard this morning is one of all of the nations of the world streaming into Zion to be taught by God. It's a vision of nations laying aside their conquest of each other. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. That's Isaiah. And Matthew's vision includes Jesus saying that there are two men in the field. There are two women at grinding grain. One is taken, one is not. So, do we focus on the future? Guilty, as charged, yes. We certainly do. People of faith have a shared vision of a new world, a world different from the world in which we live in. Now, some people, I believe they're very sincere and earnest. Some people have, through history, tried to set dates for when the end is going to come. And it will probably happen again. It will probably happen again. We've seen this in recent days. Someone sets a date and says, on this day, this month, and this year, the world is going to come to an end. But we're still here. The world is still turning and nothing has happened. And then, of course, there are those who follow the teachings of John Darby, a 19th century Irish clergyman. If you turn on your television or your radio, you will hear preachers get into Darby's teaching about the Battle of Armageddon and all of the fighting that's going to happen and all of the nations that are going to be embroiled in the end of the world stories. And they have charts and show you how all of these things are going to happen. But I'm afraid that Mr. Darby knows too much. You may have seen the bumper stickers, by the way. One says, in case of the rapture, that's one of Darby's big words, we're going to have this rapture. A word that's not in the Bible, never appears in the Old or New Testament. When the rapture comes, the driver of this car will disappear, which caused other bumper stickers to appear that says, when the rapture comes, can I have your car? Jesus is so very clear, I think, was in our reading today. No one knows, neither the angels in heaven or the Son. Only God the Father knows when the end will come. But still, we do live in hope. We have one eye on the horizon, one eye on the future. This beautiful day is coming. Isaiah proclaims it. The nations will stop fighting. They'll beat their swords into bathtubs. The nations will stream into Zion. Everyone will learn the ways of the Lord. Jillian of Norwich, who lay dying, had a vision of Christ, and she said, Christ said to her, all will be well. All will be well. And all manner of thing shall be well. We believe that. That's part of the Christian hope. That's the first note of Advent. The day is coming when everything ugly will be made beautiful. The day is coming when everything wrong will be made right in God's way and in God's time. But our hope, our looking forward to that, is also balanced. There's another piece of Advent, and that is the piece that says that strong hope is anchored by equally strong focus on today, on the world that we live in right now. You know, even in New Testament times, we see this in our New Testament. There were people in the early churches that said, well, since we know what the end is going to be, we'll just sit back and do nothing. And Paul has to write to this church and say, oh, no, no, no. You cannot just sit back and be lazy. If you don't work, you don't eat. And that's all wrapped up in those who said, now I don't have to do anything at all. The fact is, every time the Bible gives us a future hope, there is almost always a clear call to live life fully right now. Because God owns the future, we can live today. Hope does not blind us from the present. It empowers us. We are given power and courage to live today because we have this hope for tomorrow. And empowerment is exactly what we need. We need this empowerment. We need to know that the life that we have, the life that we were given, is the only life we're ever going to get. Now, that can be difficult to realize. We might want to be in someone else's skin. We might want to have lived at some other time. But this is the life we're given. The life you are living now is God's gift to you and to the world. It's the only life you're ever going to get. There is no other. And there are two things that can mess us up really big. One is to live in unresolved regret. To wish that we had done something different somewhere along the line and let that cripple us and stop us from living the life that God has given us. That's why confession is so important, that we do that every Sunday. We do that corporately. We do that silently. We let the past be our teacher, but just the teacher. Never let it cripple us and bind us and keep us from living the life that God has given us. God forgives us of the past, and we need to move on from it, letting the past be a teacher, but never letting it be our master. And the other danger we always face is to live tomorrow rather than today. We do that with our anxiety and fear. We let our minds and our hearts race 100 miles an hour into tomorrow, next week, next month. And we live in terror sometimes. The phone rings. Oh, what's wrong? Why did my phone ring? I'm afraid to answer the phone. We go to the doctor and we think, oh, I can't stand going to the doctor. The doctor's going to tell me something I can't bear to hear. Anxious worry about the future can cripple us as well as regret and remorse over the past. The fact is, in Advent, we are called to live each day. How does Isaiah put it? It was in these wonderful words. He says, come, let us walk in the light. Today, live in the light. Sing in the light. Love in the light. Serve in the light. Forgive in the light. Be fully alive to your life, walking in the light that God gives us today. And Matthew has Jesus saying, what? Keep awake, Jesus says. Fully alive. Be ready. Hope empowers us, you see, to do exactly that. To be awake to all that is. To be aware of all that is happening around us. Regret will keep us from living in the now, and anxious worry about tomorrow will steal today from us as surely as we breathe. Advent calls. Advent calls. Stop living in the past regrets. Let the past be your teacher, never your master. Stop living in the future and let go of the burden of anxious worry. All will be well. And all will be well. Advent calls. Get up every morning. Notice what's going on. Watch. Keep your eyes peeled. Walk in the light. See the opportunity for each day given to love, to forgive, to learn, to give thanks, to serve. Write the letter. Knock on the door. Make the phone call. Give yourself away. Live. Live every day fully and completely in the light that God gives us. There's a football expression, and if you didn't play football in high school, you won't get it, but maybe someone else did. The coach says, leave it all on the field. Leave it all on the field. Don't let anything be saved up. Play the game fully and completely on the field and let yourself completely be expended as the whistle blows at the end. I think Pitt may have done that yesterday. And when God comes, or when the end, our end, comes, you will be ready. You will not be afraid. You will be wide awake, rejoicing for all that is yet ahead. Amen.